So let's understand how one can manage the organization change. Lewin has given us three-step model for this: unfreezing, moving, and then freezing. Whatever things have been learned over a period of years, one has to forget. So unfreezing has to be done. Otherwise, people are going to follow the same things again and again, and it will be difficult for them to do it in a new way or new method. So initially, people should be given the importance or significance of the change required. They should be told that what we are doing are having some of the disadvantages in the present scenario. What are the cost implications? What are the time implications of this? And what are the customer requirements of today's world, which will not be fulfilled by the same method, and the technology that has changed, whereby new substitutes are coming, whereby our products or services may become obsolete and maybe we'll have to close down this organization. So one should give the significance of why we want to do this change, and for that one has to unlearn what they have learned over the period of years. So unfreezing of the present way in which they are working should be done. Once they have understood, they should be told about the newer way and move to that newer way. They should be given full training. They should be told to do it after getting adequate knowledge and skill and abilities to do it in a newer way. And then under supervision, they should be told to do it and appreciated if they are doing in the right way. And once the newer technology has been adopted by that, one should freeze it so that people have to do it in that particular way. They should be further reinforced by giving the benefits of this newer way so that they don't go back to the older way again. So this is how there are three steps given by the Lewin for organization change. That is unfreezing, moving, and then freezing the new way till a further change is needed. So here we can see unfreezing is decreasing the forces tending to keep the organization as it is, so that one can enhance the attractiveness of change. Moving will be moved to desired state where build new values, attitudes and behavior of the employees. And freezing is stabilizing the change at new equilibrium so that people are going to adopt the new way. The Kotter has brought out these three steps of Lewin in much better way and little expanded way in the form of 8-step plan. He says that initially one should increase a sense of urgency among the people that whatever we have been doing over a period of years is not the right way in the present scenario because of the global competition, because of the cost involvement, because we want to remain cost effective and competitive in this global market. There is no other way but to go for the change. And hence, the first step is unfreeze the organization by providing a compelling reason for need for change and by minimizing the resistance to change. Then comes powerful guiding coalition. That is, one should form cross-functional, cross-level teams with strengths and power to be change agents. After that, one should develop a clear vision, that is a strategic plan to guide the change process in a proper, thorough way. Once we have developed a clear vision, people know exactly what is expected and how we are going to do about it. For that, you will have to communicate this vision to your employees, build and execute a communication plan that communicates the new vision and strategic plan for this. Then empower others to take actions, overcome barriers to change and change systems and structure that are detrimental to the organization. then encourage risk-taking and creative solutions among the employees so that they are empowered. When they have participated in this creative solution, they are going to be more favorable towards going in for such change rather than resisting this change. Then creating a short-term wins in the form of when they are successful in a part of this also, they should be given some incentive, they should be appreciated in people, among the employees, and plan the visible performance improvements, recognize and reward these people who are contributed to this. Once people are happy about it, then consolidate the improvements and produce gradually more and more changes required. So the change agents use credibility from long-term, short-term wins to further change, hiring, promoting and developing people into the change process and attempt to rejuvenate the change process. And once it is done, you institutionalize the change in the culture so that you are reinforcing the change by articulating relationship to the new behaviors and processes with organization success and develop means to enter, ensure that the leadership development and succession of the leaders will occur, whereby you can institutionalize this change in the organizational culture itself. And hence one should not have very strong culture which can resist this, and one should favor this kind of change overall in the organization. So the other way is organizational development, where there are set of change methods that attempt to improve organization's effectiveness and employee well-being as well. So organizational development is a system-wide application and transfer of behavioral science knowledge to the planned development, improvement and reinforcement of various strategies, structure and processes that lead to organizational effectiveness. So let's understand what are the various factors or what are the basic values underlying these organizational development efforts. One is respect for individuals, every individual in this world is different, but every individual has got a self-respect. We should give the right kind of dignity to that individual, right from the lowest rung to the highest rung in the organization. One should trust them and support them in whatever way they need support. Mutual trust is very, very important. So the subordinates should be trusted all the time, as shown in Theory Y of McGregor. Then they should be given support in the form of right kind of training, knowledge, application of knowledge, whatever is needed. They should be mentored and given morale boost. Similarly, as far as it is concerned in the organization, there should be power equalization in the form of there should not be too much of a difference between a subordinate and the superior. They should recognize their skills and give appreciation to them rather than enforcing on them their superiority and going on ordering them in the autocratic way and doing micromanagement. One should confront if they are having any negative attitude towards the work and counsel them and see to it that their queries are answered properly and they are happy adopting those changes, and they should be participating in this so that there is more involvement in the OD effort that we are going to have. So what are the various OD techniques or interventions that are usually used in various organizations? Organization development will be done by change agents. These change agents can be from the people who are expert in certain fields in their own organization. They can be senior workers, senior employees, executives, supervisors, managers. Those who have got adequate knowledge, skills and aptitude and right kind of positive mental attitudes towards upliftment of the organization development. So let's understand these various techniques or interventions that can help organization development. Sensitivity training or T training is a type of training for a group of people from various fields. They may be there in an outbound training program. They can go. Unstructured topic is given to them which they discuss and talk about the behavior of these people individually, because they are more or less at the same level, without any fear of getting reprimanded in future, so that it will lead to more self-awareness, it will lead to development of the soft skills among them. They should become more empathetic. In fact, if the facilitator, who is an HR expert in OD, is not having the right kind of skills, it can lead to even suicidal tendency among the people who are invited for the sensitivity training. So he should be very careful. He should deviate the training in such a way that people are empathetic, they have got more insight into their own nature, so that self-development, self-introspection, self-analysis will occur among these managers and they can adopt to the newer behavior which will be beneficial to the organization as a whole. Then comes survey feedback. Feedback is something where we are finding out whatever we have done, is it the right thing or not. So now we can take a survey among the people regarding various aspects of the organization, regarding salary, regarding morale, regarding the motivational aspect, whether they are satisfied with the job, regarding working conditions, etc. Lot of surveys are being taken. So survey feedback involves responding to a questionnaire containing questions about topics such as working standards, work-life balance, salary structure and levels, communication effectiveness, decision-making practices, relationship with managers and peers, customer orientation, levels of autonomy, etc. And all these, when we analyze, when the HR experts are going to analyze, they can find out where they are lacking, what kind of training programs will be needed to improve upon these questions that they have answered in a positive way or a negative way, so that they are able to accept the change in much better way and it will lead to organization effectiveness. Then comes process consultation, where as per Edgar Skin, process consultation is the creation of a relationship with the client that permits the client to perceive, understand and act on the processes, even events that occur in the client's internal as well as external environment. So these might include the workflow, the informal relationship in the team and formal communication channels. Main assumption is organizational effectiveness can be improved by handling interpersonal problems and stressing on involvement. So once the interpersonal problems are sorted out and when people are involved in various processes themselves, naturally, they are more motivated to work in much better way. They are accepting the new technologies and change required for the organizational effectiveness in much better way. Then comes team building, where we want to take the people in a group to adopt to better interpersonal understanding, better coherence and better cooperation among them, so that there is no conflicts occurring between the leader of the team and the followers, and whoever is the expert can become a leader for that particular problem if required, so that there is no ego which is coming into place. And that's how, if we can build the team to achieve a shared goal by goal setting, building good interpersonal relationships, analysis for role clarification and team process analysis, which will help in synergistically improving the performance of each member of the team, which will lead to together everyone achieves more. So 1 plus 1 should become 11. So team building is a very good approach for organizational development technique. Then comes inter-group development. Whenever there are two or more groups working, which is very common in the organization, they may be interdependent on each other, and there can be certain conflicts which can occur between them, and hence one should send these two groups together wherever there are some conflicts, where the facilitator should tell them to exactly define what's the problem between the two groups, where it started, what are the effects of these problems, and how it can be overcome by helping both the groups come out with the solutions and making them work towards it in much better way, whereby the significance of that will be told to them and it will help both the groups to achieve the goals of the organization in much better way. And there is a concept of appreciative inquiry which David Copperider has given. There are five original principles of appreciative inquiry, where the constructionist principle, the poetic principle, the simultaneous principle, the anticipatory principle, and the positive principle are there, where certain questions can be asked to find out and apply these principles for appreciative inquiry. And David Copperider has given four steps for that. One is discovery, second is dream, third is design, and the fourth one is destiny. Now, what we mean by discovery, where we are analyzing what exactly are the problems of this, establish people's views regarding organization strengths, and people expected to recall when the organization was successful. So one should believe in improving the strengths rather than only sorting out the weaknesses of the organization. One should dream that one should try to, under this step, information from discovery step is used by employees to create a compelling and ambitious picture of the organization. That's the dream part of David Copperider. And once we have dreamt that this is what we want to have, we should design how to achieve that. And finally, the destiny will be that step where every employee will attempt to determine organization's destiny and create innovative plans and strategize to fulfill their dream. So this is how the four steps are there. Now let's understand about survey feedback in some more detail. Today's globally competitive organizations constantly seek information about hurdles to productivity and satisfaction in workplace. Survey feedback is one such tool that can help these organizations. So it evaluates employees' attitudes. The indicates differences in employee perceptions and finds solutions for these differences. So this is a questionnaire based on analysis of organization to develop an understanding of all the problems within the organization and to identify the various areas of opportunities for change. And once we have identified those areas, we can find out how to go about it by doing various surveys. Now, it differs significantly from usual survey of an organization, as it relies on a larger participation by client system, and hence one can go for this kind of survey feedback as a great step for organization development. So once we have understood the various methods of organization development, let us understand about transformational culture. As we have learned in the last chapter regarding organization culture, if it is very strong culture, naturally it will lead to a problem for the organization change, because there will be a lot of resistance coming due to the firm beliefs and ideas which are inculcated among all the employees in such a organization culture. So one should transform this kind of culture so that the new changes which are required to be adopted by the organization should occur. For that, there are two approaches. One should incite innovative culture in the employees, and secondly, one should build a learning organization. So let's go into some more detail about these two approaches. One is innovation. That means something new. A research is an innovation, something new in the process, in the product, in the service that we are providing to the customer should occur. So it's an act or process of introducing new ideas, new devices or new methods so that we can improve upon the previous way in which we are dealing with our manufacturing processes or services that we are offering to the customers. Now, what are the various characteristics of innovative cultures in an organization? First and foremost, there should be structural variables. So, one should have organic structures. What we mean by organic structure, we already learned when we learned about the organizational design, where we learned about organic structure and the mechanistic structure. So, organic structure is one where there is lot of flexibility which is accepted and taken forward. Multi-skilling is very common. Bureaucratic structure is not at all allowed. People are not rigid and they are very easy to transform the way in which they are working if required. They adopt to the newer technologies very easily. So, it will lead to long and stable career for the employees. There will be lot of resources available so that there is no zero-sum conflict which is occurring, zero-sum way in which the conflict will be resolved for the resources. And a clear communication should occur across all the work units, which will lead to improvement in their processes, no need of reinvention of the wheel. If some experience has occurred in one part of the organization, in one department, it will be spread across everywhere so that the same mistake should not occur, and it will also encourage innovation to have newer processes, newer way of working, adopting newer technology and design. As far as the cultural characteristic is concerned, one should have incitement of experimentation so that people should be motivated to do newer experiments, newer ways of doing things. They should be rewarded not only for their success, but also for the failure, for the trial that they have done, the effort they have put into adopting the newer ideas. And even the mistakes should be celebrated rather than reprimanded, or they should not be removed from the organization or demoted for that because there was some financial loss to the company because of these newer ideas. But even when you are going to even celebrate the mistakes, because they are going to learn out of these mistakes, and newer ways will be, it will open up newer way for the adoption in future. Because as Thomas Alva Edison also, when he invented the bulb, for 1,000 times if he was not successful, he told that I have not failed. He told that I just now know that these are the 1,000 ways in which the bulb cannot be produced. So he remained persistent in his invention, and finally he could invent the bulb. So one should have that kind of attitude as a cultural characteristic of the organization, whereby people will come forward with the newer ideas and try to implement it. Maybe if you don't try, you are not going to fail. But even for trial, you should be given the appreciation. And that's how innovative culture will be developed. And that's how you are going to succeed in a long run to a great extent. So there are companies like Wipro, 3M, the iPad that is being innovated by a company, one can say. So these are the companies who are highly having the innovative culture, and that's how they are producing newer and newer things which are highly technological things, but at the same time they may fail sometimes, but still they are appreciated and they are going to have much more benefit of sustenance and growth of their company. The HR features should be such that they should always encourage people to learn and develop newer and newer ideas.